Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 10. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, a Lord who hath believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went out unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then by renewal on this Lord's Day, then we attempt to open our unclean lips and draw nigh unto thy throne of grace to come with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, with our longings, and with our sins. And then the psalmist of old has declared, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark transgression, who then could stand? Wilt thou impress that truth and that reality upon all our hearts, that thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and that thou canst not look on iniquity? But then the psalmist has also added, thou hast instructed him, he has learned, that he could never please thee by his works. And then he has learned and expressed by faith, but with thee there is forgiveness, that thou mayest be feared. May that be experienced in this evening hour. May it please thee to bless thy holy word, that it may be accompanied by thy Holy Spirit, and that it may be experienced what we have read out of thy word, that thou wert found of them that sought thee not, and that thou was even manifested thyself unto those that have not asked for thee, Lord. Wilt thou then be a wonder-doing God, and may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name, Lord. If thou leavest us and our children lie in our lost condition, then we are forever undone. Thou art righteous in doing so, but thou wast taught thy church to pray for the coming of thy kingdom. Thou wast given unto us and our children the gift of thy precious word, where it is declared our deep fall, our lost condition, but also the wonderful works of grace where thou wast sent thy dear Son upon the world to save his church. And now by the work of thy Holy Spirit, thou art gathering and saving that church. And may that now take place in this evening hour, that it may be heard that sons and daughters are born in Zion, that they have learned to cry and to weep over their sins and over their missing, with that love shed abroad in the heart and exercised with death and eternity and with thy justice and attempting to pay that great debt, O Lord. Those lessons they need to be learned here in the time, because how terrible it shall be when we shall have to learn them at the end, and then it shall be forever too late, and then all the means of grace, they shall rise up against us. But, O Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou grant special exercises also in this week, when thou granteth it on the coming Lord's Day, then we hope to remember that rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit when 3,000 enemies were made friends, and thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant those further leadings, O Lord. Grant more and more a life abound at thy throne of grace, dependent upon thee for everything. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace. Remember the brothers of the consistory. May there be many Aarons and hers. Bless the labors in the family circles. At the moment our school is closed, wilt thou to that end help parents. Wilt thou help the students. Remember the teachers. Wilt thou grant thy help, and wilt thou grant thy blessing. Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony toward the end of this week. May thy special presence be experienced. May they be given to beg of thee, that thou may remember them with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, that thou may take them by heart and hand, help them through the time, and above all lead them to that celestial city by thy free and sovereign grace. Our brother elder with his wife, they hope to commemorate in this week. They have been on married life's journey for many years. They hope to remember to raise an Ebenezer, that thou wast spared them for 45 years. Wilt thou grant a broken and a humble heart, remember them together as they continue life's journey together. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted, all that are affected by the virus, and then in a special way we remember the old mother in the hospital, where she is frail, where there are grave concerns. May we humbly be given to ask thee that the means may be blessed. We commend her unto thee for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember an older father in a special way under the physician's care with that dreaded disease? Thou wast wonderfully watched over him hitherto. And when thou grantest then toward the end of this week, together with his dear wife, hope to remember that thou wast spared for 81 years, wilt thou grant a broken and a humble heart, above all save their never dying souls, wilt thou remember all our elderly ones, those in the Bethesda, those that may lovingly care for them, those that may still dwell in their homes. Above all, Lord, wilt thou save their never dying souls. We remember all our mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou remember the orphans, Lord. Uphold them all and sanctify the callings. Wilt thou remember all the crosses. Remember all the burdens. We remember our handicapped ones, the difficulties of the body, the difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou uphold them. Remember all those that may lovingly care for them. Wilt thou remember all the family circles. Wilt thou grant that love may abound. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, remember the nations of the earth in this serious and solemn time. Remember also our nation, our province, the premier with those that stand at his side in these trying and difficult times. May they be given to bow their knees and open thy holy word and acknowledge thee that thou art the ruler in the heavens and upon the earth. We commend the many that are sick, all those in hospitals, those that labor in the hospitals, in the medical field, and in the emergency department, and may their eyes be upon thee. Lord, may it now please thee to grant thy gracious help in this evening hour. Grant a few simple words to speak. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers, grant empty vessels, go so from bench to bench, from chair to chair, from dwelling to dwelling, and above all from heart to heart, O Lord. Wilt thou save and convert us, as thou doth convert all thy people, and that is by free and sovereign grace, that is the only hope for us and our children. Impress upon all our hearts that our sins, they are great and they are manifold, and that they need to be blotted out in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Pardon us so of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 73, the stanzas 1 through 4. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? And what follows? Psalter 73, the first four stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 7, the question and answers 20 through 23. Question 20, are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Answer, no, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Question 21, what is true faith? Answer, a true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, a remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Question 22. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer, all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. Question 23, what are these articles? They have been read in this evening hour. Lord's Day number 7 speaks of true saving faith. With three thoughts in the first place, the beneficiaries of true saving faith. Secondly, the characteristics of true saving faith. And thirdly, the object of true saving faith. A true saving faith, the beneficiaries, the characteristics, and the object of true saving faith. A beloved congregation, we have heard in the last Lord's Day that the pearl of good price may be declared unto us and our children. A mediator that has fulfilled all the requirements which were spoken of in Lord's Day number 6. A mediator that is able to stand between a guilty sinner and a holy and a righteous God, and a mediator that sends forth his Holy Spirit, that the church shall be gathered. That mediator concerns the only comfort which we have heard of in Lord's Day number 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And then the answer, that I am not mine own, but belong to that precious Savior, and that is now the mediator that has been declared in Lord's Day number 6. There a way has been declared for us and our children that we may be saved. And now what should be our deepest concern how we may be saved. I read of a certain one, as Jesus has traveled through the villages toward Jerusalem, and that he said, Lord, as shall there be few that be saved? And then what has Jesus answered? Then he has not given a direct answer, but strive ye to enter in, for there shall be many that shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. That has become the question and the serious concern of great multitudes on the day of Pentecost, when they have sat under the preaching of the apostles, and where they have declared that by wicked hands ye have taken and crucified, it is true, according to the foreknowledge of God. And where they have declared to that people, that Savior whom they have crucified, that he is risen, and that he is now Lord and Christ. And then by the work of the Holy Spirit, then that message has entered in. And then they have come, and they have said, men and brethren, what must we do? In Acts 16, then we read that Paul and Silas, they have been put in prison. And at the midnight hour, they were given to sing the praises of the Lord. The Lord sent an earthquake, and the jailer, he has become very afraid, fearing that all the prisoners were gone. And then he has said, what must I do to be saved? That is the most important question, young and old. We need to be saved. We need to be saved here in the time. We need to be saved as it is written in the Word of God. We need to experience that we are lost, that we are unsaved, that by nature that we are traveling on that broad way to destruction. But all we have heard in the last Lord's day, that there is a mediator, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. And now we have heard in the past Lord's day, that all the children of men under their covenant head Adam, that they are all lost. And now the question is asked in this Lord's day, are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? That is against the universal redemptionist, where they tell us that Christ has died for all people. There have even been those that have went so far, that have tried to tell us that the end, that all people shall be saved. Thus the question is, to make it simple for our boys and girls, then we have two covenant heads, the covenant head in the covenant of works, representing mankind, and through his deep fall, then he has plunged all his posterity into the greatest misery. And now the question is, concerning the covenant head of the covenant of grace, a worry is that mediator for his church. Has he now come to save all people? And then the answer is very clear. No, only those who are engrafted into him. Then it is so clearly written in the scripture that there is a church that has been elected by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. It is true that enemies of free and sovereign grace, and that is the pride of human man, that man will not bow under the sovereignty of God. It is true, they also have their texts that they use. But when we consider those texts, and therefore it is so important that we compare Scripture with Scripture, that we err not, then it is clear also with their text. Let us only mention John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of everlasting life." But then it is clear that that text does not refer to the whole world. Then how clear it is from the Scriptures that there are many that go and have went lost. Oh, think of the first world. There were 8 souls in the ark. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. What an examples we have in the Scriptures. Think of Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14. A word is written of that Broadway. Many there be that walk thereon, but there is also written of a narrow way. And now concerning the answer, know only those that are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Then this question and answer, that is against the Arminians, against the Remonstrants. In the year 400, then a monk has come from England to Jerusalem, and he has declared, oh, he was sincere, but he was sincerely mistaken. Then he has declared that man is not born with original sin, but as a blank tablet. Then he has also taught that man was born to be mortal, and that death has not come upon our deep fall. Then he has more spoken that Jesus is an example, and that man has a free will to choose to sin or not to sin. But the Lord, in his great mercy, he has raised up an Augustine, and it has come at the Synod of Carthage in 418, where he has been condemned. Oh, it is the doctrine of the Arminians, where our fathers have striven against in the Synod of Dort, 1618 and 1619, where the Remonstrants, where they deny the sovereign election of the Father, where they deny the deep fall in Adam, that he has become dead in sins and trespasses. They deny the necessity of the powerful and irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. But our instructors, according to the Holy Word, are all men then as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ. O congregation, then even in that answer, then it is declared that there is a church that shall be saved, and that shall continue to the end of the world. The Lord has promised to work from generation to generation in that last Lord's day, where that mediator may be upheld, where he may be displayed. There it tells unto us and our children that there are no hopeless cases, but that mediator, he is so sufficient and so willing to save. Do I not read in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, not from some sin, not from most sin, but that it cleanses from all sin. And yet our instructors, they are declaring the necessity of a wonder. We have heard it, that they have spoken, except man is regenerated by the Spirit of God. Oh, may this Lord's Day, may it bring us on our knees. May we be given to beg, where it is the Lord's Day, before we hope to commemorate by renewal the rich outpouring of His Holy Spirit, and were on that notable day, by irresistible grace, because on the day of Pentecost, there was not one of those 3,000 that was seeking the Lord as they ought to seek. But then it was the Lord's time. The Spirit was poured out. 3,000 sinners were pricked in their heart. They have received their guilt home. They have seen what they have done, that they have crucified the Lord of glory, that they have crucified the Savior which the Lord has sent, where they have crucified the Messiah, where the fathers have waited 4,000 years. O congregation, if there was a guilty people, and we are all guilty, but they were stained with blood, they have cried out, His blood be upon us and our children. And now that people were saved by that precious mediator, and now a wonder has taken place. And now the instructors know only those who are engrafted into Him. What is that to be engrafted? If you have an orchard, then sometime the farmer, when he has a bad tree and he has a good tree, then sometime he takes a branch from that good tree and then he places it in the trunk of that bad tree. And then that bad tree, in a few years' time, then that new shoot may bring forth good fruit, and so a bad trunk can become a good tree. But now Paul writes to the Romans, when he writes of engrafting in the way of grace, it is true, in that chapter he speaks of Israel, then he speaks of engrafting, which is contrary to nature. And now our instructors, they are given to speak of an evil stock. That is that Adam, that old Adam. And where a tree and a branch, they bring forth nothing but evil fruit. But what now takes place, and then our boys and girls can understand it, that with that engrafting, that branch has absolutely no part in it, but that it is the work of the husbandman, and that he comes with a very sharp pruning knife, and that he cuts that branch from that bad trunk, and that he places it in a good trunk, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of that engrafting in John 15, where Christ has said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And now the husbandman, then by the sharp pruning knife of the law, And then that branch is severed, and it is true. Thomas Boston in his fourfold state, and that is a book that all of our family should have, and all of our family should read. And when Thomas Boston, when he writes of the mystical union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he writes of this engrafting, then he speaks of 12 different steps between that branch is completely severed and cut off from Adam, and so receives a full place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, know only those who are engrafted into him. And concerning that engrafting, then it is a real union, not only a touching, because in John 15 we also read of other branches that are very close to the vine, but that have not been engrafted into that vine, and to receive that life-giving sap that they may live. And now concerning that engrafting, oh, a natural life, when a farmer grafts, then sometime it happens that it is not successful, that engrafted little branch, that it begins to wither, and that finally it dies. But now concerning what our instructors speak of that engrafting, then it never fails by the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And that engrafting, that union, that shall never be dissolved, because it lies firm in the work of a triune God. It is true. Those branches, they need to be pruned. They need to be pruned much, because there is so much of self. John the Baptist has written, spoken in John 3, verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. Ah, for those branches, what a begging there can be when the Lord prunes them in the way of trials and in the way of chastisement. Then what a begging there is that this little branch and that branch may be spared, but the heavenly husbandman, then he prunes according to divine wisdom, and he prunes that tree that his name may be glorified. Isaiah 43, verse 21. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. No, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Thus do you receive. Do you hear the order, congregation? Not first to choose and first to believe and then to be spoken of to be engrafted. Thus that is not by the will or by the power of man, but it is a one-sided work, that engrafting by free and sovereign grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and as a fruit of that engrafting, then they may receive those benefits by a true faith. Our second thought, the characteristics of true saving faith. And then there is asked in question 21, what is a true faith? the instructors, and they use that word true more oftentimes in the Heidelberg Catechism, because there is also much that is not true. And now when the Lord begins to work, then there shall be much examination and much prayer concerning the true work and concerning a true faith. What is true faith? A true faith is not only a certain knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, and all the older ones can tell us, the four different kinds of faith that Reverend Hellenbrook speaks of. Of course, in the true sense of the word, then it is only true saving faith. Because that only that true saving faith that unites with Christ. But then we have heard, and when our instructors say, not only a certain knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, then we hear of historical faith. That is a bare assent to the truth, and that centers on our mind. And let us never minimize that historical faith, a great blessing, when we and our children, when we may be instructed in the holy truths of God's holy word, when we consider the scriptures, and the Old Testament, then what a blessing has rested upon the Israelites when there was a close life with the Word of God. A minister, a Reverend Veldkamp, of a former century, he has written that when there is carelessness in the midst of the church, concerning the searching of the scriptures, that is the death of the church, and that is the triumph of the Antichrist. And nevertheless, that historical knowledge that centers in our mind, that is too short for eternity. With that knowledge, we cannot appear before the Lord. And yet with that historical knowledge, we are made very accountable. Luke 12, verse 48, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Then Reverend Hellenbrook has also spoken of a temporal believer. Do you know the temporal believer congregation? Have you become exercised with a temporal believer? If that has never been so, then you are in a very dangerous state. Because when the Lord works by His Holy Spirit, then such a people, they become exercised with that temporal believer. Because there are so many questions and there are so many riddles. And when it becomes so still, then they are afraid that it was only of a temporal nature. And then I hear one ask, but what is now the difference between that true saving faith and that temporal faith? Then there are many differences, and it is true. It can lie so close together. Do we not read of an Orpah that is wept, of a Balaam that is prophesied, and a Judas that is preached. And even with the temporal believer, it can go very deep. That convictions of the conscience, that sometime it even seems that they can be so deep, even deeper than in those whom the Lord works more gradually in a saving way. But let us say this, that in the life of a temporal believer, then it does not work so much by love, but then it worketh more by fear, more a fear of the consequences and the punishment of sin, than of the character of sin. And it can go very far that a temporal believer takes the name of the Savior upon the lips, and it can even be for many years that they travel forward as a child of God. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, then Christ has spoken of that stony ground here. Then Reverend Hellenbrook also speaks of miraculous faith, thus to make it clear, historical faith more upon the mind, a temporary faith upon the conscience, and miraculous faith that centers and focuses on the power of God. Think of the 10 lepers. They have all come to the Lord Jesus Christ with their leprosy, believing that he could heal them, and they were healed. But now concerning true faith. True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word. Thus we must understand this question rightly. It does not exclude knowledge. Reverend Hellenbrook, when he has spoken of the three characteristics of true saving faith, then he has spoken of knowledge, assent, and trust. Thus this true saving faith, it is not a blind faith, but it is a faith according to the scriptures. But then the instructors, then they have added, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. Then the instructors, then they are given to speak of the essence of faith. When we speak of faith, then we speak of the essence of faith, and then we also speak of the exercise of faith. Then, boys and girls, then we can compare faith to a hand, whereby we receive something. And now true saving faith, that is the hand which the Lord grants unto his people by the work of the Holy Spirit in the moment of regeneration. But now concerning the use of that hand, that is also granted by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Thus, for our little children, to make it simple, when a little baby is born, a well-born baby, then it has little hands. But then that little child needs to learn how to use those little hands to receive what is given unto them. Thus, that hand that is the essence of faith, and when that hand may be stretched forth, And that is the exercise of faith. And now concerning that true saving faith, then we find in the scriptures of a little faith, of a weak faith, and also of a strong faith. But now the instructors, they are given to declare that faith in its essence, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. Then also in this answer, then the instructors, then they are given to extol the wonderful works of the Lord, that it is all a gift from above, a gift that has been merited, and a gift that is given, thus also an assured confidence. Thus, that faith is not only a faith that centers in the mind, but that is a faith that brings into a true and saving relationship. And that true saving faith, that is by the renewal of the Holy Spirit, and that true saving faith, that works activity. Because congregation, if we now confess that we believe that God is real in all his attributes, in his justice, his mercy, his goodness, his power, his omnipresence, his omniscience. If we confess to believe what is written in the Bible concerning our deep fall in Adam, and that by nature that we are traveling on that broad way to destruction, if we confess to believe it all, if we truly confess that we are a sinner in the sight of such a just and a good-doing God, and we can just live on from day to day, busy with our timely things, hopefully still a little troubled, and that there are times that maybe we live not so easy, but if we now confess it all to be true, and we live upon this world as if this is our eternity, then we can understand that it is not true saving faith, because if we are truly given to believe it, and also an assured confidence that with the Lord there is hope, and with the Lord there is mercy, shall we then not become and remain a real seeker? Does not mean that people seek as they ought, but congregation, by the exercise of that true saving faith, then we shall seek the Lord and his righteousness, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others. Thus then the instructors, they are given to explain the full exercise of faith, given to trust, given to confide, given to look outside of themselves, a sinner, that has learned that they can never save themselves. But what a precious awe, then I hear some say. And that is now my desire. When the Lord works that true saving faith, we have mentioned in the moment of regeneration, then he works that love, that faith, and that hope. Then they are given to hope. How it must be, they know not. Oh, in the beginning they hope with their works, but that more and more is cut off, as we have heard in Lord's Day number 4 and Lord's Day number 5, exercised with the justice of God because they believe that as justice requires a full satisfaction that the Lord in his justice that he must and that he shall punish sin temporally and eternally. Oh, then that people receive a hope because the Lord is not a land of outer darkness for his people, and the Lord shall grant them many tokens of his favor. They shall experience how excellent is thy loving kindness, O Lord. Therefore the children of men put their trust under their wings, as I read in Psalm 36. But now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to uncover them more and more, and to lead them, to instruct them concerning that precious mediator, that he is such a perfect mediator. And now by the application of the Holy Spirit, the application of the gospel which the Holy Ghost works, by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also. Remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation. Thus then the instructors, they are given to mention two special benefits which Christ has merited for his church, to receive the remission of all their sins and an everlasting righteousness and salvation, a right to eternal glory, and then by renewal. Oh, then we hear from the instructors that with each opportunity that they are given to extol free and sovereign grace, do we not read in Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest men should boast. And therefore also in this answer, all to be given to stress the necessity of the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Ghost, but also are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Then the instructors, they are given to speak of the assurance which the Holy Spirit works and grants to the child of God. That does not mean that that child, of course, it is a difference whether we speak of the condition of the soul or the state of the soul. But now concerning that assurance, then our fathers at the Westminster Assembly, which is gathered from 1643 to 1649, then in the Confession of Faith in chapter 18, heading 4, then they have spoken of this assurance in such a way concerning the shaking of that assurance. True believers may have the assurance of their salvation a diverse way shaken, diminished, and intermitted. And then they have listed different reasons. In the first place, as by negligence in preserving it, all those fathers, they have glorified free and sovereign grace, but they have stressed the necessity of the faithful use of the means. Secondly, by falling into some special sin which woundeth the conscience and grieveth the spirit. Thirdly, by some sudden or vehement temptation. A fourthly, by God's withdrawing the light of his countenance and suffering even such as fear him to walk in darkness and have no light. And these forefathers, they are speaking of a church that has come to a certain assurance concerning the pardoning of sins. But then they have added, yet are they never utterly destitute of that seed of God and life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience of duty, out of which, by the operation of the Spirit, this assurance may in due time be revived, and by the which in the meantime they are supported from utter despair. Let us sing. Of Psalter 100. Let us only sing 1, 2, and 3. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do as well. So shalt thou dwell within the land. And what follows? Psalter 100, only the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
a true saving faith. The beneficiaries of true faith. The characteristics of true faith. And now thirdly, the object of true faith. And then the instructors of ask in question 22. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? And then the answer, all things promised us in the gospel. We have already heard from Lord's Day number 6, from question 19 concerning that precious mediator. Whence knowest thou this from the holy gospel? Thus the instructors they are given to point out to us that true saving faith is not a blind faith based upon feelings, upon emotions. Does not mean there shall be not feelings and emotions, but it is a faith that has its foundation in the Word of God. And to that end, Christ has said in John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and in them ye think ye have eternal life. Concerning the gospel, then Thomas Watson has written in a certain place, concerning faith of the law, and concerning faith of the gospel. Thus it is a faith concerning the whole Word of God. And then in this Lord's Day, then the instructors have spoken of the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. And in the coming Lord's Days, then the instructors from number 8 through 22, then they are given to declare, to explain what is written in those 12 articles based upon God's holy word. Then this Lord's Day congregation that goes about being saved. And now concerning that being saved, then we have heard that not all people shall be saved. But in the positive, then we have heard that there is a church that has and shall be saved. And then should it not be our question? Oh, is that our question, young and old? Shall I now belong to that multitude, young and old, that are saved through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, by the application of the Holy Spirit? Then in this evening hour and on this Lord's Day, should it not be a different question yet? Should it not be the question, am I now saved by free and sovereign grace? Young and old, what is your answer? Have you ever received a hope? Have you heard your life declared in the Word of God? May you believe that there has been a renewal, that it has become different, that you have received those longings and desires for the things of the Lord. When we think of the day of Pentecost, when the Lord spares us, then the coming Lord's Day, then we hope to remember that the Lord on one day, under the preaching of the apostles, that 3,000 have been converted. What a number, congregation, when we think of how many people our church holds, a little over 800, that is nearly four churches full, young and old, that were walking on that Broadway and that were converted. And the Lord is still the same. Ah, may we be given to try to come in secret places and to humbly beg the Lord that he may do a great work amongst us, that many among our boys and girls, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that they may be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, what it is to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be brought to that supreme good. And now concerning that faith that believes what is written in the Word of God, and therefore the psalmist has exclaimed in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Job, in Job 23, verse 12, oh, even in the midst of the pain, the suffering, the ashes, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard in this evening of a people that is saved. May it be our deep concern, may it be our prayer, that we may belong to that people. Lord, when thou was wrought in us, then it is free and sovereign grace, and we read in thy word, and who maketh thee to differ. And now, Lord, when thou granteth it, then on the coming Lord's Day, we hope to commemorate that glorious outpouring of thy Holy Spirit when so many were pricked in their heart. Ah, may we as a congregation, may we be found oftentimes in secret places, ah, begging of thee, an impression undeserved, send away. Thou art righteous to pass us by, but that in the latter days of the earth, where thy judgments are hanging so low over this earth, that thou may do a great work amongst us, that many by thy Spirit may receive the essence of that true saving faith, and also the further exercises, even that assurance of which we have heard in this evening, our Lord. Wilt thou graciously watch over us wherever we are called to be, in the home, on the way, at work. Wilt thou keep us from harm and from danger. Wilt thou bless the labors on the field. Wilt thou grant moisture and sunshine. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. We may acknowledge thee in this day, that we could meet undisturbed, Lord. Wilt thou be the after preacher. Remember the family circles. We remember all the sick and afflicted, all those affected by the virus. Once more we commend the old mother unto thee in the hospital, for body and for soul. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. Wilt thou keep, wilt thou guide, wilt thou protect, grant traveling mercies, grant a prayer for one another, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 428, the stanzas 8 and 10. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. I've sworn an oath which gladly I repeat, that I shall keep as always I have striven. And what follows? 428, 8 and 10. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. and the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen.